Blog Talk Radio.
Oh, yeah, that music can mean only one thing, and that is it's time for the weekly edition of Drive Through HR. This is Robin Schooling, one of your hosts, and my co-host Mike Vandervoort is on the line. Hello, Mike.
Hey, Robin. How are you doing? It's been a while. I was joking in the pre-show, but I almost forgot how to log in and do one of these shows. So randomly back, might disappear again for a couple of weeks because I'm in a really busy stretch for work, but doing well overall.
Well, I'm glad to have you back because the one thing I've discovered is I think when we're both not doing it, we tend to run into technical difficulties too. So
yeah.
it truly does take a village. It truly takes a village. Oh, man. Well, and before we that was kind of actually a nice little segue because it allows us to right off the top give thanks to our sponsor because our sponsor is Q. And one of the things that's keeping you so busy is getting ready for the Q conference. So everybody understands
right.
We have a conference in
Atlanta, just down the street from my house, actually, on May 5th. So yeah, like slightly more than 3 weeks away. So it's really busy right now. Yeah.
Mm-mm.
So anyway, I'm rusty. So jump on and let's bring our guest on.
Well, I'm glad you're here because looking forward to this chat with our guest this week. So our guest is Anthony Onesto. Hello, Anthony.
Hey, Robin. Hey, Mike. How are you guys?
Hi, Anthony. Good.
We are
doing
good.
Well.
We are good. So kick us off. This is the part where we're truly like, you know, it's like an HR interview because we ask you to tell us a little bit about yourself. Let our listeners know who you are, what your story is, what you've done, what you're doing.
Sounds good. Do you want my strengths and my weaknesses? Do you want my MBTI profile? What do you need? So as you said, my name is Anthony Onesto. I have been in HR for a long, long time. Actually, the gray hairs on my head actually show the amount of time I've been in HR. I've done the dot-com boom many years ago. I'm based here in New York City, born and raised here in New York. You know, I like to call myself a middle-class kid from Brooklyn, and sort of been in the HR space, mostly dealing with startups and doing that for a long period of time. Jumped out of that a little bit over the last couple of years, got on the what I'd like to call the quote-unquote business side of a startup where I was leading a learning development startup called SmartUp and really understood, you know, maybe some of that HR stuff is kind of BS if you're on the business side, and sort of jumped back into HR recently with another startup called Suzy, which is it's a SaaS platform here in New York. We're disrupting the old stodgy market research space and giving real-time consumer insights to brands, and they can ask questions and literally get 500 responses and just fantastic growth. And just doing that and doing a bunch of side projects, you know, if I have time with three kids. And so doing
yeah.
well. Yeah.
I love the name Suzy because Suzy has always been like my go-to HR name. You know, Suzy employee said, or Suzy HR said. I would
absolutely
love to work in a place called Suzy. Now, another thing that you do is you also have a podcast radio show, which I find fascinating because it is New York HR focused. What makes HR in New York different, unique?
Yeah, that's it's actually, and I'm gonna school the schooling. It's New York. It's York. So there's a A and a W in there. All right. So when you come up next time, we'll give you a little lesson there. But it's New York HR. And yeah, I mean, listen, it's as different as New York is. You know, we're not Silicon Valley here. I mean, we just got rated about, I think, a couple of months ago, the best tech city in the world, which, you know, we've been the sort of sister city to Silicon Valley for many years. So, so, you know, what's different? I mean, everything, you know, you think about what's the beauty of New York, particularly for companies, is the fact that we have five boroughs, we have different areas. So you have such a level of diversity here in talent that I don't think you get anywhere else. I mean, if you see a lot of the writings that are happening now about the Valley and other places, you know, there's just this lack of diversity. And I think the beauty of New York, it brings that diversity. And so with that, it brings, you know, the challenges that come with that from an HR perspective. And you're dealing, by the way, with New Yorkers, you know, like these people don't deal with bullshit, you know, like it's, if your manual is 90 pages, cut it down to 3, like, let's get it. We're too busy. Let's get stuff done, you know? So, there's a multitude of differences. I mean, listen, humans are humans, and you, that's all over the world, right? There's definitely commonalities, but New Yorkers are definitely a special breed, and that's why we love them.
Now, one of the things that you said before, which I know is a thought near and dear to your heart, is this whole concept of people from the outside looking in, on the business side of the business, looking in, think that HR is crap half the times. What are we coming up with? You know, why are we making our managers, our employees jump through hoops? What, you know, when you look back over that time where you did that transition into, you know, out of and then back into HR, what did you discard forever? What did you say, I am not bringing back into my next HR shop?
Wow. We only have 30 minutes. no, I mean, I kid. The easy one that everyone talks about right now is performance reviews, right? Like that was the biggest one. I think we've, you know, throughout my career as an HR person, as an HR generalist, sort of taking orders, you know, from HR leadership that had traditional backgrounds, you know, the performance review, the yearly thing where everyone would go through, and everyone would hate, and it would take weeks to get performance reviews back. And then if you added 360, it took, you know, 5 years to get those back, and everyone hated it. And in fact, it was shown to lower productivity, like that kind of stuff, like the obvious stuff that we were just, why were we doing that? Like, why? Like, I think, and HR folks are smart, you know, they understand, like they're at, you know, the beauty of the HR role, the people role, or whatever you want to call it, is the ability to see across the organization. Like, you have inputs, like the head of sales only sees sales and maybe touches marketing, but HR, you see everything. So these are smart people, and I don't understand why some of the stuff was just done. So performance reviews was one. You know, I think I took a very hard look at learning and development. You know, again, I feel like, you know, if you look at some of the lists of HR things that have been, you know, built within programs or just sort of the traditional stuff, it kind of felt like a check mark. Like, hey, we, you know, I feel like in some cases, diversity and inclusion has that sort of check mark. I like to call it diversity theater. Where we're kind of like, oh, okay, we're done and let's move on, you know, and some of that stuff. Yeah. So really learning and development to me was the big piece. Cause I think, you know, and it's, these are for me low hanging fruit, because there's just a hell of a lot of dissatisfaction from an employee perspective. Managers don't feel like their employees are getting upskilled. We're spending a ton of money on learning and development platforms. So that's just two. I mean, we can riff on that forever, but those are the two easy ones. And I said, we're going to stop doing that, right? If you had stopped doing these performance reviews, just stop. Like, everyone was like, well, what do you put in place? But the fact of the matter is, if you just stopped them, it would increase productivity. If you took the research and just applied it, it would, like, just stop it. And it would actually help your business increase productivity. So those are some of the things. I mean, recruiting, we can rip on that too, right? Like the ability to find talent is another area. So there's a bunch of it. I think some of the, there's some standard HR like benefits. That's another area that has zero innovation happening within that space. And I think a lot of it has to do with regulatory issues and laws that require you to do certain things. But I think you can
right.
sort of be very inventive in that space, and no one really has. So yeah, a bunch of different things.
Anthony, this is a tangential question, but since you talked about, New York HR for a second there, something that I was paying a lot of attention to was the recent, Amazon headquarters 2 thing that happened in Queens. I guess what I'm curious about is what's the reaction of someone who lives in New York to that? Was the outcome good, bad? I know there was a certain group, in Queens that protested it, but I wondered about New York at large.
Yeah, that's a great question. Can you just define tangential for me so I know what the hell you're talking about?
I'm taking a
remember
when we were going.
Don't use big words with me. I'm a middle class kid from New York, Matt. No, all good. I got it. I looked it up on Google. We're good.
Google it.
So, exactly. I think, I'm going to take this from 3 different points of view. First is, as the head of HR for a growing technology company, I say, thank God Amazon is not here, as I think about trying, it is hard enough at record unemployment to find a back-end .NET engineer for a company like Suzy in New York City that having to sort of raise a C round solely just to pay that individual. So it's crazy, crazy amount of money. And that's why we're exploring, and we've built hubs in North Carolina, a little bit closer to where you are, Mike, and where Robin is, and we're actually expanding into Alabama. We have a bunch of stuff happening there. Hmm. So exciting stuff. So it's kind of like the Steve case. One of our board members is Chris Moody, working on this idea of expanding out. But I know we're talking about New York. So from that perspective, HR perspective, although it does make it, make it more attractive for people to come here, it's obviously a competition, and it increases competition.
Yeah.
A citizen perspective, I think it was a mess. And I was part of Fresh Direct's expansion years ago, and we were I don't think a lot of the folks locally in government really understood what was happening and what the incentives were about. So when I was at Fresh Direct, we received, and we're going back into I forgot the governor's name. It was a long time ago in 2001 when we received government grants from the state of New York to do training and development. So every time we hired somebody at Fresh Direct, we were able to get a grant for training and development, and then we got tax incentives, right?
Yep.
So it wasn't some of it was hard money, some of it was soft money, as I say. So I think that a lot of that was missed, and it could have been, I don't know the inside track of how it was happening, but it seemed like some people were either railroaded or went around, and that's not always good when you're dealing with city council. And the third part is just, from a tech enthusiast, I think it's a miss for New York. But I, the next big tech company, Google, has expanded its presence here. Apple's expanding its presence here. So we have enough of the big technology folks to come in here. We don't have the best basketball team. Hopefully, fingers crossed this year we get Zion from Duke. But yeah. So from those perspectives, it was it teetered behind utter disappointment to thank goodness from an HR perspective.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Okay. Thanks.
Sure.
So now, you can tell this is a conversational radio show because we just go from one topic to the next.
I love it.
But one of the things that we, when we kind of talked about getting you on the show was focusing on skills for the future, and specifically HR skills for the future. So we referenced actually a good summary report. I hope folks that went to the website were able to take a look at it because it talked about, all this stuff that we know is happening. The world is changing, workplace is changing, the digital literacy and those sorts of things are important. But how does that play out for HR? What and where is HR failing That, again, this could be a show unto itself, I think. But, you know, how do we get HR folks to upskill? And I'm going to tell you my take on it to kick it off. I think, and this could be true of any profession, but I certainly have seen it amongst my HR peers, there's this tendency to just sort of sit back, keep their head in the sand. Not all, but, you know, a fair number of folks that will just say, you know, my company will take care of me, or they'll tell me what I need to learn, or they'll come up with, you know, what sort of training I need, and they'll tell me when I need to upskill or learn, you know, new digital skills or dive into people analytics or whatever it may be. And so we have folks that have just been sitting on the sidelines and are still sitting on the sidelines, which I see as one of the problems.
Right.
Is that fair to our HR folks?
Yeah, I mean, listen, I think there, I kind of pendulum swing on this. I go from one point where I feel like it's on HR. I feel like it's, you know, there's an analogy, the boiling frog analogy, right? So you put a frog in a pot of water and you
yeah.
turn the heat up and the frog will adapt to the point where it will boil itself to death, right? And I feel like there's some of that, if not majority of that, happening in human resources where I am comfortable. Listen, this is the same profession that did performance reviews for 20 years and knowing full well everyone hated it. Like, you know, it's, and then it actually didn't increase productivity. There was no proof of that, right? So, and
right.
part of what I think we need to do is this, I call it this combination of heart, and I like to sort of bold the art part of the heart, but heart and science, right? So let's continue
mm-hmm.
with the heart piece. Like, I think part of the trouble with HR has been very regulatory focused. I think knowing the local COBRA laws, you know, the state, you know, laws around, sorry, the federal laws around COBRA and then the state laws around leave and all that stuff is an important information for someone who just wants to regurgitate information. But really,
mm-hmm.
you know, to think about how to build experiences for your employees, taking more of a creative aspect, I think that's, to me, that's where I fundamentally think we need to put the heart into it. Let's bring heart back into human resources. Why people join is to the sort of the people part of it. And then the science
yeah.
part. I think we all, you know, Andrew McAfee wrote a great book, a couple of different books, Race Against the Machines. It's this whole idea of humans versus machines and what's going to happen. And at the end of it, it's like, you know, it's man and machine is more powerful than machine by itself and man by itself. But he talks a
yeah.
lot about, you know, the world needing to get geekier. And I mean that with clarity. I want to be a geek. And so the idea is bringing science into this. So what's working? You know, if we had run an analysis on performance reviews, and I'm picking on performance reviews because it's so damn easy, but and saw that there was no productivity gain, then why, you know, stop doing it. That's the other thing is like, why are we fearing, like, if we just stop stuff, like, you're not going to have a mass walkout of employees going, no, we want performance reviews. And they have their picket lines and they're going, you know, whatever. So there's some easy stuff here. And I think just HR is boxed into, you know, in an article, blog article I'm writing on this topic that hopefully will get published soon. The idea is, like, you know, it's not thinking outside the box. It's burning the damn box. You know, like, let's reboot
yeah.
here. And really try to figure this out and understand what are the skill sets that are needed. I think there is, like I said, the heart piece of it. If you think about, you know, the best brands in the world, like Apple, or, you know, the best experiences in the world, like Ritz-Carlton, certain things that happen in those brands from an experience perspective that tugs mm-hmm. at your heart. So that's sort of the heart,
mm-hmm.
H-A-R, A-R-T part of it. And I think current HR people, you know, and I'm going to be broadly, this is a broad stroke here, because I don't mean this
right.
for every HR person, but, you know, creative skills aren't, that's not number one on the job description for your HR generalist is like creativity, but maybe that should be. Like, let's start,
mm-hmm.
maybe we should bring designers into HR, not designers that'll, you know, pick colors, but designers that will help you think about building experiences. So that way, when that employee
mm-hmm.
walks into your office off of that elevator, do you have aromatherapy in your office? So, because it's an experience, they come in here every day. right? So right. It's like those kind of things. And I know those are like super tactical kind of suggestions, but the whole idea is to really revamp the HR department and keep the people that really understand the FMLA. Those people are super important. There is a needed skill set, but don't make that the main skill set. Like when you hire an HR mm-hmm. generalist, maybe that's the last bullet. And maybe it's not so much required. Maybe if they do a Google search on FMLA and read over a weekend, they could probably get a good idea of how it works. And I tell you, I still don't know what the hell FMLA is all about. And I, you know, like I'm still Googling, I'm calling lawyers. It's like, it's the worst. It's obviously a great benefit, but it's painful for HR people. So I mean, we can riff on that, but I'd love your thoughts on that. What are you folks seeing in terms of that future?
Before I give my thoughts, I'm just going to do a quick little reset here. We've got, believe it or not, only about 9 minutes left, but we're good to go. So I think you're absolutely right. I think creativity and looking at things through a different prism is key. What I find interesting about it is you see that creativity, again, here we're using a broad brush for this entire thing, but I think I see creativity on two opposite ends of the spectrum. I see that creativity, you know, large enterprises, okay, here's a Google, here's a whatever, and or small startups, especially in certain types of industries. But you can't just say small businesses across the board, because where I see a lot of the least creative HR or the lack of heart, if you will, the most are in those small businesses that are very traditional, because they are so stuck in the past, or they are so stuck in the way they've always done things. And that comes right down to who the owner is, or the senior leadership team, or whoever, you know, what they expect from HR. If they're not informed because they're working in this sort of traditional sort of industry or whatever, they're not going to expect or want that of their HR leader or their HR team either. So sometimes HR people who chafe at the lack of change or lack of creativity are stifled by what they're hired to do, or what they're that small scrappy business will even let them do sometimes.
Yeah, I mean, I would. Sorry, go ahead, Mike.
No, go ahead.
So I'm of two minds of that. Those HR people that are looking at that job description for that small business, you can tell everything in the job description, and that's a whole nother riff, by the way. We should, that's another area that has zero change in it over the last 20 years. Like, we completely need to refocus and redesign those, but that's for next show. But they look at that job description, and they go on that interview, and they know exactly what they're getting into, right? So then it becomes an economic thing for them. Like, I need a job. I'm going to take a job, versus being selective. I think it does. Having a CEO that is complete, even small, large business, even startups, like if you don't have a CEO, and I'm blessed to have Matt Britton, who's our CEO of Suzy, he's just like, yeah, culture is important, HR is important, I want you to think differently. He talks about millennials and experiences, like he's on the forefront of these things. And so for me, it makes my job so much easier. So I completely agree with you. But I think as an HR, that to me sounds like a cop out, like, oh, I am part of this organization and I can't do it. That BS. I'm going to call bullshit on that. So I told you I was going to curse twice. I'm calling BS on that. Like, you can be disruptive. You can advise that CEO or that small business owner to say, listen, yeah. And at the small business level, you are doing a lot of tactical HR stuff. But even in the startup, I'm still doing benefit enrollments and things of that nature, because you're just doing it. You're scrappy. You have to figure that stuff out. But to me, it's like, then there needs to be an HR person that's leading the charge for the small business. Like, you can, maybe you work in that business, opinion. So be the opinion for that small business and try to be that person that helps these folks sort of bring in diversity, bring in different programs, things like that, where it's non-traditional, but it does have, there's correlation. And then the other thing is the science part of the equation, which is show that small business owner that if he hires a bunch of folks from different backgrounds, that there's actually proof there's business impact. Like, look, I can increase the amount of revenue and productivity in your company, which eventually gets you profits, which gets your kid into college, and you could buy that Maserati that you've been always looking for. So, like, make it sort of what are they interested in? What are their motivating factors? And sort of trail back from that. But, Mike, you were going to say something. Sorry.
Yeah. I work in labor and employee relations arena primarily, and there's like a lot of things like labor unions are, you know, that's old school stuff, but there is a ton of other things that affect HR directly or that affect companies directly or indirectly. And a lot of it falls into what I think is kind of a newly evolving HR responsibility, if not necessarily competency. And an example of that is like recently in Mexico, you know, there's all the trade talk, tariffs, build the wall, all that stuff. Set that aside for a minute. The newly elected president, one of the first things they did was raise the minimum wage for most employees in Mexico. And I think it was doubled, if I remember what I read correctly. And that immediately launched a two- or three-week strike, work stoppage, in the border maquiladora plant, Juarez and others. And there were like 95 U.S.-based suppliers who all of a sudden their workforce in Mexico is on strike, and they provide a lot of components, right? Nobody thought that in Mexico, nobody thought the minimum wage going up was going to affect them that way. And so the HR was totally blindsided by that. The other thing that's going on is, you know, the activists, not unions anymore, it's activist people who want pressure companies, or in Google's case or Microsoft's case, where employees are sort of rising up around issues of the way the company is doing business. So there's, you know, we could do a couple shows from that probably, and I'm not sure I'm stating it as artfully as I'd like to, but there are a lot of things changing that HR typically doesn't keep its eye on from a political and business trend point of view around those kind of issues. And you really need to be, especially if you're in a larger company versus what you just talked about, Robin, the smaller side. So that's kind of what I'm seeing a lot of right now.
It's the need for HR to be effective at doing the environmental scan. And that's of all elements where, again, I think traditionally HR folks, and again, you could probably pick on any other profession too, but HR folks have tended to pat themselves on the back because they're constantly keeping an eye on upcoming very specific, you know, HR legislation or something that's coming in. And we need to collectively be constantly looking at everything. What's happening in politics, in society, in pop culture, in the environment, you know, what are all these trends that are going to impact, you know, holistically what we do?
I think that's
a key skill.
Yeah, I mean, I think you hit it right on the head. I think this is less of a I hate HR Inc. article podcast. This is like we love HR and like, We're shaking you and saying, hey, wake up. In that case, I think, you know, it's easy to know what FMLA, and I'm again picking on FMLA again, but it's easy, right? Like, you can Google it. It's black and white. It's yes or no. In some cases, you know, obviously it becomes a little bit more complex, but it's easy to understand it. It's law versus thinking about what Michael was just talking about. That's hard. Like thinking about how the impact of a government regulation will have on my employees and the human squishiness that happens with that. You don't know unless there's historical reference for something like that. But that's hard. Yeah. Like creating a recruiting program to bring more women in tech is hard. Like that you have to be creative. It's not black and white. And I think that's where, you know, and we have to be honest. We don't have the skill sets in HR, and we have to supplement them with folks that are doing that on a daily basis, like your creative designers, creative directors. IDEO is a great example of folks that are doing things like that.
Yep. Well, that is a perfect thought for us to end with, and we're down to about 20 seconds. So thank you so much, Anthony, for joining us on Drive Through HR, and let our audience know where they can connect with you or find you.
Oh, sure. Thank you for having me. Easy enough is always LinkedIn or, you know, Twitter at Anthony Onesto. I tweet some of my insanity there. So, yeah, those are the two great places.
Great. Thanks, everybody. Have a good day.
Take care. Bye.